Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. Please tune again each Sunday as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this program, 8 to 8:30, on public access channel number 6 on your television, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have an extensive website. All these radio programs, TV programs, and a host of other Bible-related material are there for your leisure to look at and to download. Please give it a look. ChurchOfChristAtHarrisburg.com. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. It is our desire to have you come and worship God with us, that you might understand your need for God in your life, and you have a relationship with His Son. We are looking at some lessons in the subject matter of why we're members of the Lord's Church. For the month of July, we have begun to look at the reason of rightly dividing the Word of God. And we're giving you a detailed overview of the Bible so we can understand how it's put together so we can rightly divide it as we are instructed to do in 2 Timothy 2:15. Last week we began by looking at the Old Testament. We left off after the books of poetry, and now we're going to begin to look at the prophets. There are 5 major prophets and there are 12 minor prophets. The books of Isaiah, Daniel, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and Ezekiel contain the 5 major books. Now these books are only referred to as major because they are longer in length. Isaiah is often called the Messianic prophet because there's more prophecies about the Messiah in that book than any other. Jeremiah and Lamentations, written by the prophet Jeremiah, are very heartfelt, emotional books. Tells about the struggle of trying to get Judah to repent before she is going to be placed into Babylonian captivity. And of course, they reject and rebel Jeremiah's pleadings and God's pleadings, and they are taken into captivity. Ezekiel is a prophet that is also sent to try to stem the tide in order to bring about the restoration of the nation, but again, is futile because they are in rebellion. And Daniel, the final of the major prophets, has to do with the captivity years, the 70 years of captivity, and then coming out of that. It's a very figurative book. It is a book of signs and symbols. It is a book greatly misunderstood, but it is a book that covers the first 4 periods of the earth's history, the Babylonian, the Medes, Persians, the Greek, and the Roman. It goes into a little more detail of the Greek, and it just begins to mention the Roman. But too many people misinterpret Daniel because they try to make it parallel to the end times and the coming of Christ. And again, that's not the context and that's not the purpose of the book. And that's a failure to rightly divide the Word of God. And so it is a book that is greatly abused and misunderstood because it's not kept in its proper setting. The last 12 books of the Old Testament have to do with minor prophets. Now these minor prophets are all different, but their message is the same. Their message is turn from the idolatry, turn from forsaking God and His law, or face the wrath of God. And they all do it a little different. I'll just give you a couple of examples. In the book of Hosea, his prophecy is very graphic. It's very picturesque. It's very easy to understand how terrible that they have treated the Lord, and how contemptible they've treated not only him, but his law. And Hosea, to get him in mind, to understand the devastation that God has for how they've treated him, he marries a harlot, and then he is told when she goes after other men that he is not to go and get her back. And again, even the name of his children are to represent the attitude and the conduct of the children of Israel and how they have despicably mistreated God. And then you have one of the more known books of the minor prophets, Jonah. that's about a prophet who tried to run away from God and his responsibilities. And God created a great fish to swallow him up. And he lived in the belly of that fish for 3 days. Then he was vomited out on dry ground. And then he was told to go back and speak to the city of Nineveh to try to preserve it, give them an opportunity to repent. And he did that. And the nation of Assyria, and especially the city of Nineveh, was spared. And then Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. And it has prophecies concerning the coming of John the Baptist. And so even though those books are different, they're written by different men, they have different approaches, their message is much the same. Turn to God, repent, leave sin, leave apostasy, leave idolatry, return to God, or you're going to face the consequence of your decision, and you're going to face his wrath. Unfortunately, all the words of the prophets fell on deaf ears, and they did not listen, and they did not turn. Therefore, they would pay a high price. And so those are the books of the Old Testament, 39 of them in total. That brings us to the New Testament. The New Testament is smaller and a little bit easier to understand. There are 27 books in the New Testament. They begin with Matthew and end in Revelation. The book of the New Testament have four categories. The first four are sometimes referred to as the Gospels or a biography of Jesus Christ. Then you have one historical book in the New Testament, the book of Acts. And then you have epistles, which means letters. There are general letters and there are special letters that are written to special churches or individuals. There are 21 of them in total. And then you have the final book in the New Testament, the one most abused, most misunderstood, and most mistaught. That is the book of prophecy, the only one in the New Testament. That is the book of Revelation. It is the book of prophecy of the New Testament. Now, the biography of Jesus Christ is contained in the first four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the books that tell us about Christ's life on earth and tell us about the things that he did, the things that he taught, and the proclamation of the coming of the kingdom of God. Now, there are four of them in total because there are four that were written for very much different purposes. The book of Matthew was written to the Jews to explain to them and to get them to understand that Jesus was the Messiah of the Old Testament and the Redeemer of Israel. The books of Mark and Luke are written to the Romans and the Greeks to explain that even though they didn't have the law given to them, their hope was also in Christ, who would lead them and would show them the way to God, and that they needed him in order that they might gain salvation. Now, the Gospel of John is written in a little bit of a different way. The Gospel of John is given to us according to John 20:30-31 to explain that Jesus is deity. He is the Son of God. And the book of John is written to give evidence, the evidence that Jesus gave himself as to his claim that he was the Son of God. This is done in parables. This is done in, by the miracles that he did. This is done by his teaching. This is done by the prophecy he fulfilled and the things that he promised to do. And so if you want to know about the history of the Lord while he was on earth, if you want to know what he said, what he did, you're going to have to look at the books of the Gospel, the first four books of the New Testament. And then we have a book of history. It is the history, the only historical book, and it is the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we see the fulfillment of the promise that God made to the apostles of pouring out the Holy Spirit on them in Acts chapter 1 and 2. And then we see the origin of the church, and we see how the early church grew. But another thing that's very important about Acts, it is a book of conversion. It answers a question, what must I do to be saved? If a person today wants to know how to obtain salvation, he needs to go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts will show him 9 conversions, and putting those conversions together and looking and examining each one, we can get a good, clear picture of what God demands and requires of one to come into obedience to the gospel of Christ. And then the epistles begin with Romans through Jude. Now these epistles are sometimes written to individuals like Jude and Philemon. They are written to individuals, Timothy and Titus. And then you have books written to churches like the book of Corinthians written to Corinth, the book of Philippi written to the church of Philippi, the book of Ephesians written to the people of Ephesus. And then you have books that are general in nature like 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and like the book of Jude. They're more general. They have a wider scope of audience. But sometimes these books have been referred to as the basis of what we need to do after we become a Christian. What does God require of us after we become a Christian? In the letters, the epistles, we learn our responsibilities and duties in all of our physical relationships, whether you're talking about parenting, marriage, or with each other in the Lord's church, or with those in the world. We have a duty and a responsibility given by God, and those things are covered in those epistles. That leads us to the last book of the New Testament, the book of prophecy. If one would care to read the very first chapter of the book of Revelation, you will see that the inspired writer said that these things must shortly come to pass. This is a book of sign and symbols, and it was written to the seven churches of Asia that we can read about in Revelation 2 and 3. It was written to bring them comfort and peace, that God was aware of their persecution, he was aware of their tribulation, and he was going to deal with Rome, who was the perpetrator in persecuting the people of God. But he's going to do it in his own time, and he's going to allow Rome to destroy herself. And the message of the book of Revelation is that as long as you remain faithful to God, as long as you stay the course, as long as you don't allow the pressure from those trying to get you off center, off focus, as long as you stay with God, even if it means your death, you win. And so this is a book of victory in Christ. And it is a book that has to do with the persecution of the first century and how God viewed that and how God was going to bring retribution upon the Romans, but he was going to do it according to his time, and he was going to allow them to destroy themselves with their sin and their ungodliness. Many people go to this book to try to prove and examine their fanciful theories about the second coming of Christ, a thousand-year reign on earth, and a host of other things. But this book is not about that. And it is a misapplication, it's a failure to rightly divide, and it is a failure to stay within the context of the teachings that are contained in the book. We've examined Revelation in earlier lessons on this radio program, where we've looked extensively at giving you an overview of the book of Revelation chapter by chapter. And those things are on our website. I encourage you to go back there and go back and listen to them, and they will give you a overview of what that book's all about and how it fits into God's wonderful plan that he made before the world began. And so that's the 27 books of the New Testament. And so 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. We have the 66 books that represent the Bible. Those are the subject matters, those are the books, and we need to know how to rightly divide them. Thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week as we'll continue rightly dividing the book.